Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 4th, 2025. September 11th, I don't know why I said that. I'll fix that in post. We appreciate you joining us, whatever the day is, and certainly we can talk to her every day. We have Kathy McGrath with us, along with Pat McGrath. We're going to be talking monarch migration, among other things today. Thank you both for joining us. Kathy, always good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Appreciate the time. And why don't we start right there before I get too distracted by this beautiful butterfly that you brought into the studio here. Three of them, are there three? Oh,
yes.
I didn't notice. Oh, now there's no hope for me. You take over, Kathy. You just go ahead and talk. Oh,
well, this is monarch migrating season. And we brought along three monarch butterflies today that we will tag. Of course, the people on the radio can't see it, but we will talk you through it, and they will feel like they've seen it. This is they're called the Methuselah generation of monarchs, because they are the super generation. These are the migrating monarchs that we released today. Will be the ones that will travel, hopefully, all the way to Mexico. If everything is correct for them, all the way down there, which is a big thing to happen.
Yeah.
But this generation, because they're called the super generation, they live longer than the ones that we have released in June, July, or the first part of August. We actually start tagging them in mid-August, and it has to do with our latitude, correct? And Pat will tell you what our latitude is and why that happens.
Which is just as interesting, I think, as some of this and the way those things work.
Yeah, what's interesting is how this little creature can sense all of this. We're about 44 degrees for our latitude. So I think our date for starting to tag is around August 10th. But anyway, what happens around that time is the jet stream, which is normally from the south during the summer, comes from the north during this time of year. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, when they migrate, are they flapping their wings that whole time? No, they go up about 5,000 to 10,000 feet and put their wings out and ride the jet stream. So,
yeah. Do you remember when you first rode your bike and you were able to coast?
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing you think of something like that. Like, that's such a cool thing to think of them doing that. That's interesting.
And the other thing that's interesting is that they shut down their reproductive system. That's saving all their energy for the migration and surviving through the winter down in Mexico. And then in late February, early March, a switch flips in their system and it turns back on. They start reproducing as they move toward Texas and Arizona and stuff. So it's...
They're just one of the most amazing things on this planet. They just, simply put, they really are. Their whole story, everything about them.
They are marvelous. Mm-hmm. The marvelous monarchs. Mm-hmm. And like Pat said, you know, they ride those thermal currents, so they can travel up to 100 miles a day, but they're not flapping their wings the whole time because they know how to get there easier.
It's a very smart form of travel. Yes. I don't know what the airline miles you get for something like that, but it is a very smart way of traveling.
And they're just hoping they have nectar along the way.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
They also, you know, the monarchs are so small. They weigh less than a paperclip, but they are very sturdy. When you think of how far they travel, and I've brought certificates with me of our monarchs that we have released in Port Edwards that have been found over 1,800 miles away.
So incredible.
Wow. And, you know, people will say, why would you ever do this? Why would you tag a butterfly? Well, it was the late 70s or mid-70s.
About 1974.
When they actually found out, they knew that the monarchs left Wisconsin, and they left the United States, but they weren't sure where they went to. And that's when they found out that they went to these groves in Mexico.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing, and this is why we tag them, because scientists are using this knowledge to learn everything they can about the monarchs. So when they first started tagging them in the 70s, the tag looked very different than it does now. It was square, and it was bigger.
About the size of your keyboard, white keyboard buttons.
Yeah. And the scientists found that it did affect their flight, and they didn't fly as well. So the scientists did lots of research, finding out what size and where to put it on the butterfly would work the best. So I brought my finger puppet along. So James is seeing where the sticker goes. It goes over what's called the discal, D-I-S-C-A-L, cell. And they found that that's the best place to put it for the flight.
It's a little bit on the lower part of the wing, a little to the right, sort of.
Correct.
It looks like a mitten.
Yeah.
If you drew your hand around it, it would be like a mitten. And then we record everything that is on that little sticker. It's the size of a pencil eraser, so it's really small. And there's always a number and a code on that sticker with letters first and then numbers. So when I was teaching kindergarten and doing this with my students, you know, I'd have one of them come up and I'd say, this is why it's important that you know your letters and your numbers, because if I don't write down the correct code, it won't do any good for the scientists to learn from this. So that, and they're really small. The older I got, I needed my glasses to read those letters and numbers, but the children could read them pretty easily. But of course, I would always check to make sure that they'd given me the right code. So in a little bit, we will actually tag these butterflies so that you can see how that goes.
And you yourselves tag them. You guys.
Yes.
That's amazing,
yes.
Too. That's pretty cool. I think I just wanted to note that, because I think that's just as awesome as some of the other things you're mentioning.
Right. We always order the tags through an organization called Monarch Watch USA, which is out of the University of Kansas. So we pay for the stickers, and this year we ordered 300. We order them before we really know how many we are going to use, but we are going to run out of stickers this year.
Wow.
Because
that's good news.
We still have a lot of butterflies to tag, and I only have 10 stickers left, which we'll be using three of them today.
And we actually had 30 stickers left from last year that we've already used. So by the end of the season, we will have tagged about 330.
Wow. And that seems like a big increase from last year.
It is.
Oh, it is.
It's been a really good season for the Monarchs.
We're going to be close to 1,000 butterflies this year.
That we have released.
Very
encouraging. But, of course, it started early because we found our first eggs May 18th.
Right after Mother's Day.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that.
And so, you know, that many butterflies over the season, but it's a full-time job in the summer to feed all those hungry caterpillars because they eat a lot of milkweed. And then now, because our weather has been cooler, they slow down. They don't eat nearly as fast as they did before. And when we're ready to release the butterflies, if it's cool, they stick around a lot longer too because they're smart. They wait for the weather to be perfect for them to take off when they know that they can fly. But Pat was telling me the next couple of weeks are supposed to get really warm again. So the ones that we're going to be releasing,
that's going to be back and forth for them.
Yeah. Right. They'll have a good start.
Actually, it's kind of interesting because the on the Buena Vista grasslands, you know, that's west or east of Kellner, this time of year, if there are a lot of monarchs migrating through and the nights get cold, you can actually go out there at either dawn or dusk, and you'll see clusters of monarchs hanging in some of the trees.
Wow. Now I really want to do that.
Yeah.
I really want to do that.
And, of course, you never know, because we have not seen it this year.
Right.
But we've seen it some years, and you never know where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So people would say, where did you see that? And we can tell them a certain road, but that doesn't mean they're going to be there the next night. or morning. But, yeah, that's really cool to see.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that update and everything that's going on with these. Now, you mentioned that you're going to be using three of these tags today. Is that what we're going to be doing today?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting. That's so cool. Oh.
So I brought my clipboard with all my tagging information, and we are on the 12th page because there's, is it 25 a page, I think?
Yep.
Anyway, and so what I have to do is write down the code that is on this little sticker.
And while she's doing that, Pat has gently grabbed one of the butterflies out of the netting and is ready to, this little guy.
And that's a female.
Oh, that is so cool. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The male, we'll show you later, but the male has black dots on its wings.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Lower wings.
Oh, interesting.
So
okay.
I have written down this code, and it is ALLS240. And I took that little sticker off of my sticker sheet, tagging sheet, with a toothpick, because if I've got any oils on my finger, I don't want it on the bottom of the sticker, because I want this to stick to that butterfly.
Mm-hmm. It's got a long ways to go.
It does. And so now I'm going to write down the date. And this was another good thing with children. What month is it? Mm-hmm. It's September, but if we start in January, what number month is that? So they would learn that. So today is the 9th. It's the 11th day. So I've written that down. The year is 2025. Mm-hmm. And then I'd show them. The year is not going to change when I do all these, because it's the same year. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put 26 because we're not there yet. So Pat already told us it was a female. So I am going to put an F down here, because we need to either write F for female or M for male. And then the next column, you either write an R for reared or raised, is what we do with these. Sure. You can also take a net and go out in the wild and catch them. We have enough to do with the ones that we raise. We don't do that. Although last year you did catch a couple that we...
In our yard, yes.
Yeah, in our yard, and we did tag them. So that's that. Then you write down the place that you're releasing from. So I've got Port Edwards written down. The state, another thing they needed to tell me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's Wisconsin. What is our zip code? Mm-hmm. That needs to be written down. And then what country? Because some of these monarchs in Canada, they would start tagging before we did, because they're up higher.
Interesting.
So our monarchs, these that we're releasing, are the third generation. The ones that eclosed in June, that's the first generation. Then it was into July and the first part of August, second generation. These are the third generation. But the ones from Canada would have been their fourth generation. So it all depends on where they're at.
Yeah.
So I've got this little sticker on a toothpick, and Pat's holding the female, and I'm going to press it right down on that discal cell, and then Pat will put his finger on and press it a little bit. Normally, at home, we would take it right outside.
And here, James will let you hold it and look at it.
Thank you.
There you go.
I want people to be sensitive with these beautiful things and be careful with them.
Yes.
At the same time, I am blown away by how durable they are. I'm so sorry, Pat.
It's okay. It went to the window.
It goes to light.
You know, but with these hands, I should not drop or fumble anything. They're gigantic. When it comes to them, and that is great that it goes right to the window, of course.
And we are very good at catching monarchs.
I bet you're going to become pros at it.
It happens.
It's amazing to me how I'm hesitant to use the word durable, but how strong and durable their wings
are. They are sturdy.
It really just blows you away if you haven't ever touched one before.
Right.
Thank you for doing that.
And they're flexible. You know, that's the other part.
Yes,
I think people think of them as being rigid, like on the old wooden planes that you wound up with a rubber band. But they're covered with scales like a fish. And so there's a lot of flexibility to them.
And amazing feel to them.
Yes.
And even when they're damaged, they can still fly, you know, because you'll see some old ones that are faded. Maybe a bird took a chunk out of one of the wings and, you know,
they're
they can
tough.
Still fly.
That's a tough insect right there.
You know, and I have had some people say to me, why do you do this and hurt those butterflies? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we know that... I have 6 certificates here to show you of ours that have been found in Mexico. So we know that they make it. And we're not hurting them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they put up with all kinds of weather in nature, like hurricanes and tornadoes and bad storms and hail. Mm-hmm. They know what to do. And if we put them outside today and they're not ready to take off, they will probably find a tree to huddle in until the weather gets sunny and warm enough for them to take off, and they will go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people sometimes don't understand, and if they've never seen the process, they don't get it.
Yeah.
But when we show them what we're actually doing, most people say, wow. That's really something.
Well, and, you know, this comes back to something, and it's interesting how we, you know, had Janelle in before, and we were talking a little bit about this. Encourage, if you didn't listen to that interview, everybody, and the importance of so much of this. When you get to be at the top of the food chain, that doesn't mean that you're just sitting there at the top of the hill or anything. That comes with a responsibility. It comes with keeping this thing moving, keeping things going. Janelle talks about not so much a food chain, but a food web, and you take one little part of that web away, and that affects everything. Our policy pollinators, our butterflies, our insects, our bees. These are gigantic parts of things. So as to steal a line from her, do you like to eat? I feel like you're gonna get a pretty high percentage of the audience that loves the food, loves
yes.
to eat.
Yes.
That's a big part of what we're doing here. That's a big part of this. It's
right.
all connected. It is fun and interesting. And if you just told me, hey, this is just cool, I'm all in. I'm with you on this, and it's very interesting. But we know that some people out there that takes a little bit more to maybe get them over an understanding of why this is so important, why marking these and so these scientists can get this data, this information, we can follow this migration. It's important for us to pay attention to our pollinators. It's important to have this data. Again, we like to eat. Food
yes.
is important.
Yes.
It all is connected. We are all connected.
Right. And I have had people say to me, what is the big deal with you and these monarchs? And I say exactly what you just said, James. They are pollinators. Sometimes people don't know what that even means.
Yeah, yeah.
And, we give presentations to children, but also to a lot of adults. And a lot of adults don't understand the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's all education.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention as far as an update or about the Monarch Project itself, Kathy?
I think the only thing, we found a lot of monarchs this year, and people throughout Wisconsin have. Mm. And we've been checking the Journey North, and out in California, the Western, there's a Western group that are west of the Rockies, and the Eastern group is everything east of the Rockies, and they're counting a lot of butterflies. So last year for everybody was a really low year.
Mm-hmm.
This year seems to be a really good year, but it bounces back and forth. But, we have to think that the more people who are doing this kind of thing, mm-hmm. when in the wild maybe 5 to 10% become a butterfly, with raising them you get about 80 to 90% become a butterfly. That has to help increase the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the name of the game.
Yeah. Well said, Pat. And thank you. I appreciate that. Also, really encouraging to hear so much of that, so much of what you both have shared with us today. Kathy, I love talking butterflies with you. I love talking about this subject. I would be remiss to the community if I didn't do my job and also remind everybody, you are out and about in the community doing a lot of good and doing some reading with our kids. And you're going to be at that again. You got preschool story time coming up, don't you?
Yes. At the Ed Hoyer Elementary School in Port Edwards, I do a preschool story time every Wednesday at 11 o'clock for 45 minutes. And children from anywhere can come. You don't have to live in Port Edwards. You can come from Rapids. You can come from Nakusa. Someone needs to stay there with their mm-hmm. child. Mm-hmm. It can be a grandma or grandpa, babysitter, whatever. But I've already got 12 students that are registered for it. And we just have a lot of fun. I read a book mm-hmm. and we do puppets and do nursery rhymes and songs, and it's just a very easygoing thing. And then the first Saturday of every month, I do a preschool story time at our little cafe, El Cafe in Port Edwards. And last Saturday, I had 15 children there.
Awesome.
So,
oh, cool.
And it's usually not the same group all mm-hmm. the time, although I do have some regulars that never miss. And it's just fun, and all ages come to that, from babies in arms to kids that are in fifth and sixth grade. So
we actually tag butterflies for parents and the kids last Saturday.
Yeah, and when we were, then we stayed and ate lunch at the cafe, and we were probably there an hour, and we went outside, and 6 of the butterflies were right where we'd left them.
Because it was really cold.
It was really cool.
Sure,
it was sunny, but it was cool, and the plants that we put them on were in the shade, and they hadn't taken off yet. So we educated one more person that showed up when she was standing there looking at them, and she said, what's this all about? And so we were telling her, and she just couldn't believe it. And she had never heard, and she had just come out of the cafe and was going to her car. So.
That's awesome. You are awesome, Kathy. I was telling you both beforehand and everything, the impact you guys make in the community and how we don't often know what we do sometimes. It's the kind of how life works. We keep moving forward, keep going. We don't necessarily do things for that reason. But I just have to tell you both that anytime I mention to our guests or they hear, here, Pam comes in and brings in the schedule and tells us, hey, Kathy and Pat are going to be coming by. The way my guests or my co-hosts light up at that, and I feel it and see it throughout the whole community. Your impact, what you guys do, is felt and appreciated, and I thank you so much for putting up with my silly questions and hanging out with us and giving me a chance to hang out with a butterfly and touch one. I don't know if I've ever touched a butterfly like that before. That was awesome.
Take one out so that he can feel the feel of it is really grab. The
legs have like fish hooks on them. Mm. So you'll be able to feel
them. Maybe I have not felt that before. That's interesting.
All right, come here.
That one's take. Yeah, take that one.
Oh, this is a nice big male.
Oh, wow, is that weird? Oh, that is so cool.
Tell him what's happening.
So it is very much like you guys were describing. They almost have like a stick'em to them, a little bit of a pull.
They
really do grab. Oh, yeah. I can see how they can hang on to things so well.
And so, you know,
Thank you, Pat.
Here, let's tag him as long as you've got him out.
Now, look here. Mm. There's the, you can see the black dot more when the wings are open. You can see that little black smudge there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a male, and he has a black dot on both lower wings. Mm. That's how you can tell.
Very cool.
Difference.
Oh, I got to remember that.
Like
I got to remember that.
James, this is
Kathy's showing me a diagram of one. Oh, yeah, I see it now.
I'll look for that
every time now.
As a male.
Now, Kathy doesn't know the mathematics of these numbers.
Mm.
So I'm the mathematician.
You're the math. Okay. Somebody's got to be the math guy. Yeah, well, it gives you a job.
When they started out, they probably were using all numbers. Mm. But now they're using numbers and letters. And the reason is there are 26 letters in the alphabet, but only 10 digits.
Mm.
So you multiply all those together. And it's just like license plates.
It's good stuff, Pat, but we got you too far away from the mic.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt you. You were rolling. But it's really good information. And I appreciate so much you guys sharing this information, hanging out with us, and doing what you do in the community. Kathy is great about letting us know when she's doing different events and has stuff going on at the libraries or something like that. So we'll keep you up to date on where they'll be out and about. And we'll be talking again real soon, I'm sure. Kathy, Pat, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And a big thank you to you all for joining us here at WFHR's Rapids Report.